All right, 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. I've titled the message this morning, Renew My Walk. Renew My Walk. We've been looking in the scriptures the last few weeks, talking about renewal, about how God is always up to new things and bringing life into us. And doing new works. And so we want to be prayerful in that. So every week, and this week included, I just want to challenge you that if the Lord is speaking to you in some way through the scriptures this morning, take time to approach Him in your heart. Take time to pray. Take time to ask Him to renew your walk with Him this morning as He leads you to do that. So, all right. 1 John chapter 2, starting in verse 1. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not only for ours only, but also the sins of the whole world. And by this we know that we have come to know Him if we keep His commandments. Whoever says, I know Him, but does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, in Him, truly, the love of God is perfected. By this, we may know that we are in Him. Whoever says he abides in Him ought to walk in the same way in which He walked. So this morning, John's telling us, if you know Jesus, if you abide in Jesus, if you have been born again, if you have life in the Spirit, if you're abiding in Christ, there are things that you can know in your life. There are things that you can know. This is one of the themes of 1 John, is knowing. It's 37 times, I think, if my count is right, that know appears in this short book of 1 John. And so John is a book of certainty. 1 John is a book of certainty about our walk with the Lord and our identity with Him, especially assurance of salvation. How believers in Christ can know that they have eternal life. In 1 John 5, verse 13, the Bible says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. That you may know with certainty that you have eternal life. I want to start out this morning with a question to help us, a diagnostic question. Do you know that you are walking on the right road? Do you know that you are walking on the road with Jesus? The road of eternal life? That can be a tough question to answer because I think to answer honestly, it's very humbling. Anybody else old enough to remember Rand McNally road maps? For those of you who don't, who are too young to remember Rand McNally road maps, unlike Siri and Alexa and all that stuff, the Rand McNally Road Atlas did not speak to you. It didn't even have like detailed side streets or anything to tell you how to get from point A to point B. It didn't update every 30 seconds to tell you where construction was. The Rand McNally Road Atlas, you would go to Walmart, and for, I think the last time I remember, I was around $3.88 or something when I bought one back in the day, but you'd go into any Walmart at the front of the store, they would have the Rand McNally Road Atlas. And it was really neat. It was huge. It was this huge book of maps. Every state in the country, all the major cities would be in there. And it would tell you how to get from one place to another. And it would also tell you, because you got it at Walmart, where to find your local Walmart. So, and if you're on vacation, it's good to know where your local Walmart is. So, when it comes to eternal life, when it comes to walking with Jesus Christ, you need to be certain that you're on the right road. You need to know that you are on the road that Jesus wants you on. And you're not going to find that in the Road Atlas. You're not even going to find it on your phone app, as cool as that is. We have to look to the Bible. We look to the Bible. The Bible has information that helps us to know that we are on the good road, to know that we are walking with the Lord, to know, to have assurance that we have salvation, because God wants us to have that assurance. This morning we're going to look at three road signs. We're just using that term as a metaphor. But three indicators in our lives. Three things that we can look for that if you're on the right road, you should see these road signs. You should see these things present in your life. These things are going to help you know when you see these in your life that you have salvation, that you're on the road that Jesus wants for you, that you're walking in the way that Jesus walked, and that you have his Spirit now. First of all, one of the things you should see in your life should be evident, the road sign of holiness. The road sign of holiness. And what we're talking about with holiness is not sinless perfection. We're not, in this life, we're not going to be there yet. But what we mean is that are you living a life that is in keeping with God's commands? Where God clearly speaks of something in his word, are you walking in accordance with that? Are you, by his Spirit, not your flesh, but by his Spirit, are you increasingly seeing this in your life? This presence of obedience in your life. This road sign of holiness. 1 John chapter 2, starting in verse 1, John writes, "My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin, but if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is a propitiation for our sins, not only ours, but also the sins of the whole world. By this we know that we have come to know him if we are keeping his commandments." The commandments don't make you right with him by following it, okay? It is not the root of salvation, it's the fruit. So when you're in Christ, when you're on that good road of salvation with Jesus Christ, part of the fruit of that is you see an increasing obedience in your life to his commandments. Sometimes we don't get that right. I like to do a lot of yard work around my house. My wife likes to give me a lot of yard work to do around my house. I love you, honey. She's probably watching now online. I do. I enjoy it. I like physical work, and we like flowers, and we've got a little bit of a garden, and I enjoy that, but I go out, I get dirty and grimy and stinky, and I have to use a lot of mosquito spray because we have mosquitoes around our house or some woods. By the time I'm 5 minutes into my yard work, I'm a mess. But when I get done, can anybody else identify? Anybody else, you garden and do stuff in your yard and care for things? Okay. That's okay. Yeah, so if you need veggies, you go see Mike or me. He's got turnips, I've got tomatoes. By the time I'm done, I need a shower when I've been out there working. When I go take a shower, it's a really good idea. You know, I get cleansed. You know, this part of me gets washed and clean. I get cleaned up, but it's a good idea when I'm done. I need to put on fresh clothes as well. It's not enough that what was on the inside has been washed off, but what was on the outside, it's fitting to put on clothes that are clean as well. Well, sometimes in the Christian life, even though that we know that because of the blood of Jesus, we've been perfectly cleansed of our sins, sometimes we put on some old clothes that are stinky and smelly. You know, there's times that maybe in my attitude, my response to somebody, my reaction, I don't slow down and respond in the power and the wisdom and goodness of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes I just react in my emotions. And maybe I'm not very gracious to somebody or very forgiving to somebody. And when I do that, I'm putting my stinky old clothes back on again, even though I'm cleansed. And when we do that, it can hurt our witness. And so increasingly in our life, God wants us to, as we walk along the road, have these clean clothes of obeying him, doing the good things, refraining from sin. He wants us to do that. And part of the reason he wants us to do that is if you're telling somebody that Jesus is a redeemer and Jesus is a savior and that through his work on the cross, the penalty of sin can be removed. You can be forgiven. You can have new life. And the power of sin can be broken in your life. You can live in the power of the Holy Spirit. And if we want people to believe our words, it's good for them to see the testimony too. That we are clean on the inside because of Jesus and what he's done. But it's good to have on the outside, right? Those words and actions and attitudes that are fitting for that, for what we're saying. And so we need to see the road sign of holiness increasingly in our life, more so in our life. The scriptures want us to be clothed in that new self. In Ephesians 4, verse 23, the Bible says to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, to put on the new self, to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. This road sign of holiness, this presence of holiness in our lives, it should be increasingly visible to the people around us in our lives. And praise God for His grace when it's not. If you are walking in the way of Jesus, walking in the way of holiness is for you. 1 John chapter 2, verse 4. Whoever says, I know Him, but does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. The truth is not in him. We should see this road sign of truth in our lives. When you're on the path that God wants you on in your life, you should see increasingly the presence of truth in your life. The evidence of truth in your life. What truth is that? What's John talking about? Well, I think first and foremost, to begin with, certainly the truth of the incarnation. The truth of who Jesus is. Jesus the Son of God and Jesus God the Son, that Jesus is the Christ. In 1 John chapter 5, I'll give you a moment to turn to chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, starting in verse 1. John tells us, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? If you know who Jesus is, if you know that Jesus is God the Son, then you understand He has the right to command us through His Word, and He has the right to expect us to obey His commands, but He also has the right as God to declare truth, to say this is the truth. And for us to be conformed to that truth, which is revealed in the Word of God, in the Bible. And we should see thinking and words and lives that more and more show this evidence of being in alignment with the truth of the Word of God. There are times that's difficult. It's a process. It doesn't happen overnight, usually. It's a long process of being immersed in the Word and being renewed in our thinking. And then that working out in our lives by the power of the Spirit. Jesus, when He was praying, recorded in John 17, verse 17, He said, sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. Your word is truth. You guys ever get distracted and maybe not spend time in the Word of God some days? Different seasons of life, you get busy. Sometimes even with good things. You get away from the Word. Recently, we celebrated my granddaughter Arwen's third birthday. It was a lot of fun. We had a lot of decorations and lots of high-calorie food. Birthday cake, and it was neat. A lot of family there. Very festive, joyful time. It was good. The Lord really blessed that time. And one of the things that Arwen has been blessed with, along with the gifts that she got that day, was two papas who were willing to help assemble toys. And so one of the things that Arwen got that she was pretty excited about, I don't remember who got it for, it doesn't matter, but she got this little princess castle, this pink princess castle made of plastic. And I don't remember, like, long time ago, it seemed like usually when you would buy a toy at the store, I know there's always been toys you assemble, but this thing was crazy. It was like hundreds of pieces. I don't know. I didn't count, but it was ridiculous. And so we unboxed it. We start getting all these parts out, which are in multiple bags. And there's two sets of instructions. There's one set of detailed instructions for the hundreds of parts, you know, however many that there were. And there's a whole other set of instructions for the couple hundred stickers that you decorate the thing with. I've never experienced anything like that. What happened to Lincoln Logs? But where the kid gets to assemble it. But Arlen has two papaws who love her and an aunt as well who was there. And the three of us dove into these instructions. It was an hour later that we had just the plastic parts assembled. We haven't even approached the stickers yet. 1 hour into it. So 1 hour into it, once it was all assembled, we said, Dad, it's your turn. You can have the stickers. We're done. I cannot imagine the three people who were working on this thing, if we had not followed the instructions, it would have been a nightmare. There's no way it would have come together right. We did not have the understanding. If we would have, I'm an instruction guy, and maybe over time the Lord has helped me to learn this, but are there those here that if you want to just like tell on yourself that don't follow instructions? I can't do that. No, if you get the new grill, don't do that. Follow the instructions. You get the new bicycle? Yeah. How about the kids? Do you follow instructions?
You mean tricycle?
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, the tricycle.
Well,
whatever.
But I made it a tricycle.
You know, I just want to try to help you out this morning in love as a brother, not to condemn or judge, but man, follow the instructions. It's so much easier. It's so much better to do that. You know, sometimes we just get so busy in life that we get away from the Word of God. And we think, you know, somehow that even though He's the maker, right? He's the maker of life and the one who is going ahead of you in your life and knows what you need. Knows His plans for you, which are good, and we get away from the instructions. And there's such a blessing when we just spend time in the Word, immersed in His Word on a regular basis, and let His Spirit lead us. It's so much better when we follow. There's a blessing in that. There's a blessing to following the Bible. James chapter 1, verse 25, the Bible says, "But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts will be blessed in his doing." If we're going to walk out this walk that Jesus wants for us in this world, if we're going to be doers, we're doers of the Word, right? We need to be in the Word of God so that He can use that to guide us and direct us to do what He wants us to do. If you are walking in the way, the good path that Jesus wants for you, then you're walking in the truth. You should see that evident in your life more and more. Desire that. Pray for that. Again, we don't do this perfectly, so we need to pray. It's not in our best efforts. It's in God's power, the presence of His Spirit. So we ask Him, God, help me with this. I want this more, God. Give me a desire for this walking in keeping with Your Word, God. Help me to do that. So we pray for these things, and He is faithful. A third road sign, a third thing that we should see in our life increasingly, the road sign of love. The road sign of love. Verse 5 here in 1 John tells us, "But whoever keeps His Word in him, truly the love of God is perfected." Whoever keeps His Word, if you are walking in obedience, in holiness, if you're walking in truth, if you're keeping His Word in Him, truly the love of God is perfected. It's maturing. It's growing in our lives. We should see more and more the presence of love. Walking in love. I hate to, I don't hate, but I'm hesitant sometimes to use a reference or an illustration of pregnancy because obviously I've never experienced it. But I think a good way to understand this, when a woman is pregnant, and ladies, you can correct me if I'm wrong on any of this, but when a woman is pregnant in the first weeks, maybe even first months, you don't physically see that, right? But as there's life on the inside that's growing and developing, as those hormones are changing, as cells are multiplying, and God is forming that child, right? As that is happening, eventually you can't hide it anymore, right? Eventually, so many months along, gradually, it shows a little, and it shows a little more, and it shows the baby shows. You can see that evidence of that life on the inside. Well, when you are born again, when you receive the Holy Spirit, increasingly, along with the other fruit, love. Love should be evident in your life. It is a fruit of that presence. Increasingly, when you're a new person in Christ Jesus, on the outside, as you mature, it's going to start being visible in your life. The love of God, especially love for God and love for God's people, love for your brothers and sisters, and love for the lost. Eventually, love for everyone. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 13, the Bible says, "Don't be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death." Doesn't have that life in God. "Whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that there are no murderers who have eternal life abiding in him. If you are walking in that good road, then you're walking in love." Walking in love. Let's shift our attention past those road signs, past those evidences on the road that we're walking, and let's look at the one who walks with us. The one who walks with us. And again, 1 John chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. "By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked." Part of the purpose of walking out this life of abiding in him is experiencing the presence of Christ, coming to know him more and more. As we walk with him, as he abides in us and with us, we come to know him more. If you turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 24, Luke chapter 24, starting in verse 13. This is on the day of Jesus' resurrection. There's two disciples who are walking along. They're traveling from Jerusalem to Emmaus. They're bewildered by the events of recent days, maybe discouraged. And Jesus appears to them. Verse 16 says that their eyes were kept from recognizing him. But they're walking along together, Jerusalem to Emmaus. It's about 7 miles. So 2 or 3 hours walk. Verse 17 says, "And he said to them," Jesus approaches, and they're walking together, "and he said to them, 'What is this conversation that you're holding with each other as you walk?' And they stood still." They paused at that, looking sad. "Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, 'Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?'" You guys ever have those times where you wonder if Jesus doesn't know the things happening in your life? What you're going through? I have. I've had those Cleopas moments where I've said, "God, don't you know what I'm going through?" The beautiful thing is he knows. "And he said to them," what things? "And they said to him, 'Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things have happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had seen a vision of angels who said, 'He is alive.' Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And Jesus said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And then we're told that it's getting on into evening. It's getting late. So they stop for the evening and they're sharing a meal together. Jesus agrees to stay with them. And Jesus takes some bread and he breaks it, he blesses it, and he gives it to them. And when he does this, their eyes are opened. They recognize Jesus and he vanishes from their sight. Verse 32 tells us that they said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? While he opened to us the scriptures. You know, as we are walking along the road of life, we need Jesus to speak to us through the scriptures. We need Jesus to speak to us. Wouldn't it be wonderful as you go through your day, all the ups and downs, wouldn't it be wonderful for Jesus to open the scriptures for you? Galatians 2:20, my life verse. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Lay hold of that. Christ who lives in me, and the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Christ is with you. He is with me. Praise God. As we walk along this road of life, he has not only given us his word, which is awesome, he in the presence of the Holy Spirit has given us himself. It is Jesus who lives in you, the Spirit of Christ who walks with you each day, and each day as we spend time in his word opens up the scriptures and shows him us himself, reveals himself to us, shows us that he's so much greater than anything else in this world, so much better than anything else that our hearts could desire. And he's so much bigger than our failings and our frailties. That his grace is so much greater than our sins. Here's part of what he's doing also along the way. The Bible says that he gives us everlasting encouragement. Everlasting encouragement. Does anybody else ever shop at Sam's Club other than me? A few of you? I don't that often. I do every once in a while. A long time ago, when my first wife died, and I was raising my son by myself, he was a toddler, one of my favorite single parent outings was to go to Sam's Club, because back then they really laid on the free samples. Like it seemed like every other aisle, it was just free samples, tons of free samples of food. And a little toddler can get pretty excited about that. They just go up and, here you go, kid. You know, they're just like getting all the free food and trying all this stuff. And so it's, you know, if you're on a budget and you're a single parent, it works. So we would go and get with multitask. It would be like a fun outing for the family. Plus, I could shop. You know, as they were giving out these free samples, the point of it, what they were doing, I'm sure a lot of it, they're wonderful people and it's out of the kindness of their hearts that they gave us the free samples. But in part, what they're doing is giving us the opportunity to have an increased desire for the full meal, right? To get more. God is so good. And by his Spirit and his word and his people, he's giving us what we need to be encouraged to persevere in this walk of life. But he's also helping us to taste and see that the Lord is good. He's helping us to have this, as we experience little portions of his goodness and his glory and his presence in our lives, to let us know, guys, I love you and here you go, but wait for the feast that's coming. Because you think this is good. Wait for what's coming, because it's going to just blow your minds. It's going to be so good. And we need that. The Lord knows we need that. You know, this life is blessed and beautiful. So wonderful to have the peace and the hope and the joy and the love of Christ in this world. It's wonderful. It's wonderful to be part of the church and part of that ministry of reconciliation. But also, if we're to be honest today, and we should be, it's also very hard sometimes in this life. You know, some of you guys know my wife, Kim, struggles with arthritis. And when I say she struggles with arthritis, I don't mean she can take a Tylenol and she's all better. She has severe arthritis. And sometimes, no matter how much pain medicine you take, it doesn't make the pain go away. But along with that, she, by God's grace, manages to be a school teacher somehow. I don't know how she does it, other than God's grace and power. She loves the kids. She really loves the kids. You kids who are here, do you guys look forward to summer break? Do you like those who are in school? Do you like summer vacation? Yeah, it's good. When I was a kid, yeah, how about you grown kids? Did you like summer vacation when you were in school? Man, I'm telling you, I did not like school enough because I was counting down the hours to summer vacation. So looking forward to it every year. Couldn't wait to get out of school. Yeah, I was a mess in high school, but me and my buddies, I don't remember what grade it was, probably like 10th or 11th grade. If you called school instead of prison, then one of your buddies had a free opportunity to punch you. So we just call it prison. We didn't love being there. Guys, kids, don't listen to me. Tune out. Don't hear me. Well, I'll share this with you. When I got older, I wised up and I loved school. I loved it, loved it, loved it. Actually, if I had the opportunity, I would be in school constantly now, continually. I love to learn. What a blessing. I was just an idiot. That was the problem. I was younger. So don't be an idiot. Be smart. But teachers look forward to summer break, too. They really do. And my wife right now, she's in Florida. She traveled down there to visit with our son, Grant, and his wife, Sadie, and our youngest grandbaby, Josie, who's 4 months old. And she's having a great time down there. It's probably sunny. Honey, I'm praying if you're watching that it's sunny down there. I hope it's sunny. I said that during the sermon last night. She talked to me on the phone. She said, I was listening and it was raining. So my apologies to those who heard the message last night. And I said, I didn't mean to lie. But it's probably sunny. It's probably beautiful and warm. She's having a great time. Part of what's so wonderful is not just the new setting, as great as that is in Florida, but it's who she's with. She's with our son and his wife and the grandbaby, and she's just been so looking forward to seeing them. The Bible tells us that we not only are new creatures, new creation in Christ, but that there's a newness coming where we're going to have new resurrected bodies. Anybody getting old enough to look forward to your resurrected bodies? Amen. Amen. Yeah, I hate to complain. Lord, thank you for what I'm walking around in today. But I'm looking forward to that new resurrected body. Not only that, but a new setting. The celestial city, that heavenly home. It's going to be wonderful. But the best part is who's there. The best part is seeing Jesus face to face. And God, in his word, gives us this knowledge and these promises, these tastes, because we need it. We need that. There's times that we are heartbroken and we have tears and struggles, and we need to know that there's going to come a day when not only are those things behind us and we're in a good place, man, we are in the better place, the best place, because of Jesus. When I used to read about, in Revelation and elsewhere in the Scriptures, I'd read about what God has in store for us in the home that's to come, I thought of it in terms of going back to the Garden of Eden before sin. I thought, you know what? That's going to be beautiful. It's going to be the heavenly home, what God's preparing. It's going to be this place with lots of trees and a fishing pond, I hope, and like fish fries every weekend. And it's going to be great. And maybe it is, you know, in part. And I was so looking for, and no sin. Isn't that going to be wonderful? No temptation for that. No presence of sin. And it's going to be the Garden of Eden, but not messed up and broken. But you know, the more that I read the Scriptures, and I think, I know, Jesus is better than I'm imagining. He's better than I'm imagining. My imagination, even sanctified by the Holy Spirit, my imagination can't grasp the wonder and the beauty of my Savior, my Redeemer. He is better. And the place we are going to be with Him is better than anything I'm imagining. I think the glory of God there, you know, if we had walked in the Garden of Eden, wouldn't that have been wonderful to walk with the Lord in the cool of the day and be there in the garden? Would have been so wonderful. The beauty and the goodness and the love and the glory there of our Creator, wonderful. But in what He is preparing for us, it's not only that glory of this awesome, powerful, wise, holy, almighty Creator, but it's the glory of a wondrous Redeemer who loves us so much that He gave Himself to save. And what He has in store for us and the glory of God there is going to be so, so awesome. And He wants us to take heart. He wants us to know in the midst of those moments of His goodness and peace, walking through this life, that what's coming, it's worth the wait, folks. It's going to be wonderful. It's going to be so good. I'm going to pray for us, and worship team, you can come back up. If you are here this morning, or you're watching online today, and you have never put your trust in Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross for you, I just want to tell you a little bit of His promise for you today. If you will turn away from sin and death, and you will turn to Him in faith in Jesus Christ, trusting in what He did, His shed blood for your sins on the cross, if you will do that today, He will forgive all of your sins, no matter who you are, no matter what you have done, past, present, and future, He will forgive. And not only will He forgive, and that punishment of your sins being upon Him and you having peace with God, you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, His presence, the power of sin broken. He will do that for you. He'll bring you into relationship, a new relationship with God today, brought into His family, a new identity as a child of God, and the promise of that heavenly home that can be yours today. Jesus can do that for you today.